Warning, the following audio transmission will forever change your outlook on society. You will no longer believe the narrative. You are about to wake up and see things for what they really are. News, facts, and opinions. This is the Doom Daily Show.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Doom Daily Show. Today is April 18th. Thursday, that is. For you guys, it's Friday. But for me, it's currently 8:48 p.m. or 20:48 if you want to go by military time. You know, I should just start going by Zulu time and screw you guys all up. That would be fun. Anyway, I hope you all are having a lovely Friday morning. I won't be recording on Friday evening. Isn't that great? It's great to have like a break and a day off and let my brain recuperate so I can bring you guys another amazing show. Next week, the email, doomdailyshow@gmail.com. Make sure to drop us a line over there. You know, if you guys aren't liking the show and subscribing to the show and sharing this with your friends, you absolutely should be. Share this on your social media. Share it on your Facebook. Share it on your Instagram. Let everybody know you are smarter than most because you listen to the Doom Daily Show. Anyway, I am your host, Jester Dooms. Today's day, I just got home. I literally just got home. It's almost 9 p.m. I haven't even had a shower yet. I am still in the Wambulance uniform. It's been a very non-eventful day, but like a busy day at the same time. So woke up a little bit later than what I wanted to, but I'm trying to find this new sleep schedule. So to get up and go to the prison, I have to be up at 4 in the morning. I don't have to be, but I'm the type of person that I enjoy waking up and making coffee and checking the news headlines and, you know, checking social media and screwing off for a little bit and casually getting ready and then, you know, getting out the door. I'm not one of these people that like to last minute things and like rush out the door. But today was one of those things. And all this is going to come together with this little story. So I wake up and I'm like, oh, I'm going to be a little bit late. And then I knew it was going to be a slow day at the Wambulance company because we had nothing pre-scheduled. So we have things that are pre-scheduled, which makes it kind of easy to judge the day if you're going to have time to do things or not. And I figured we didn't have anything on the schedule as of yet. So this would give me an opportunity to turn in the stuff to the prison because I honestly thought waking up this morning, I wasn't going to have to, I haven't heard anything back yet. So I figured I got to go turn my stuff in. This is probably the end of this job for me. I'm not going to be able to do what they want, so I'm probably done. So I'm running around the house like a crazy person trying to find these items of things and can't find them. So it's not stuff I use every day. It's stuff that was issued a while ago and it got like tucked away somewhere. And now I'm like, I don't know where it is. And that's what I was hunting for, but not stuff I need to use. Okay. So I can't find the stuff and I'm like, well, I have a majority of the stuff I could turn in. I'm not going to round up everything, but I'll get some stuff in there or whatever. So I end up leaving late, later than what I wanted to. Still made it on time to work. I had my son with me. I had to drop him off in the morning. I ran a red light in front of a restaurant full of police and sheriff's deputies. Nobody cares, I don't think. Anyway, I dropped off my son and then went into work. Sometime after, I get a message from my employer at the prison stating that they will let me continue to work weekends on my weekend rotation there. Which is good because it nets me extra income and I'm trying to remain on good terms to where when I go for 24-hour shifts with the Wambulance company on these long stretches of days off, I have the opportunity to go up there and make money. So that is potentially the plan. Now, that's why this tied together. I'm leaving the house late trying to find these items, thinking I'm going to have the time to go to the prison today to turn some stuff in. And turns out that, you know, they send me a message saying, hey, Doomy, you can totally come back on the weekends. We'll allow that. So I just thought that was interesting. Worked at the Wambulance company. Ran one call today. One 911 call. That was it. Then came home. Had a lovely little dinner. My wife made this chicken. You guys are going to hear a lot about the blood type based diet on this show. But she made this chicken. And this chicken was cooked and pineapple with turkey bacon, and it was good. So we had that. We also had some salad. She made some rice. I didn't touch the rice. I don't really like to eat rice just as a filler. If I'm going to get filled up on something, I want it to be something nutritional, with like nutritional density. Rice is just like carbs and calories. There's really not too much dense nutrition within rice. Anyway, so skip the rice, and then we left to go wash the truck, get gas, go grocery shopping, not at one store, but two stores, and then stopped back by the Wambulance Company so I could drop off some groceries there. Now finally home and sitting in the tundra, recording with you guys. And that's, it's quite a thing when you move through these days. So what I've noticed is it's like this weird kind of thing that's going on. My weeks go by faster at the prison, but the days go by slower there. My days go by faster working on the ambulance, but the week takes longer to get through. If that makes any kind of logical sense, I don't know. Anyway, so I've got a wild hair up my ass that I'm really hunting for a car. And I'm having some issues. I have a motorcycle right now that you cannot compare the price to of anything used online because there's nothing with this low amount of miles. And the used car market right now is insane. And I'm waiting for it to start leveling out, but I don't think that it's going to. And I did want to get into that a little bit tonight, this used car market. And I'm going to tell you guys about the kind of car I'm looking for, because I have a particular car in mind that I want, and we'll get to that right after these messages.
Can't get enough of Jester Dooms? Check out his other show, It's Doomsday Podcast, available on all podcast platforms. That's It's Doomsday Podcast.
Back to the show.
And we're back. So the used car market right now is extremely screwed up, along with the new car values. It is insane to me how expensive some used cars are right now. And I'll tell you what, one thing I have noticed, though, it is area specific. Depending on what area of the country you live in, different cars hold value, different cars lose value. Just depends on where you're at. Okay, so if you're, for example, if you're in Texas, Texas has like a Texas edition everything truck, and that's not a standard thing. Like if you're on Auto Trader, say looking up a Dodge Ram, and you're looking for like trims and packages and stuff like that, you typically don't see like a Texas edition. But those were things down there that I always noticed. Like I didn't know they made a Texas edition this vehicle or a Texas edition that vehicle. All right, like it's not something that you think about. And a lot of these trucks would come with like heavy duty bumpers or different variations of things. It was like a state specific package, I guess. I don't know. So those trucks obviously down there may hold their value a little bit better than they would say in a state like, I don't know, Massachusetts. Maybe, you know, that truck wouldn't hold its value as good up there, for instance. But what I'm finding is, so when I lived in the state of Florida, the import car market was, it was kind of all over the place. Like, you could find your cheapo import cars on the cheap side if they were beat to shit. Like, the values actually matched what the cars were. Where I live now, it's not the same way. So someone will have a car that blew books for, say, $5,000, and they'll have that $5,000 valued car. That's what the blue book says. Condition wise, that's what it's worth. But for whatever reason, people are like, nope, I don't want $5,000 for it. I want $10,000 for it because it's mine and you can't have it. And people have this mentality and they're pushing this based on what kind of new car prices are and what used car prices are. And a lot of private sellers are very confused, thinking that they're dealerships, and they're not. So here's the deal. When you buy a car from a dealer, you're getting a few things, even if it's a used car. All right. You're typically getting financing. A private seller is not going to offer you that. A lot of banks don't like to approve individuals. Like, it works a lot better if you're going through a dealer because they have pools of finance companies and they get you approved through somewhere, typically. right? The other thing is a private seller cannot offer you like a dealer plate, okay? They can't offer you a warranty. That's another thing. And even though a lot of used car places don't offer much of a warranty, sometimes they'll give you like, they'll throw in a 90-day warranty, they'll throw in a 30-day warranty. Maybe they have an aftermarket warranty company that you can buy, which I don't recommend those, by the way. Don't do that. They can offer you more, and then the dealer will typically pick up a few things if they go wrong. Like if you have the car for 2 days and the engine blows up, you might be able to take it back to that used car dealer and be like, hey, dude, I had this car for 2 days. The engine went to shit. What the hell? And it's still under that 30-day warranty. They'll either fix it, replace the motor, maybe do it for like, oh, yeah, well, our warranty covers, you know, covers all labor but not parts. So if you get an engine, we'll put it in for you, something like that, right? As to where a private seller cannot offer you these things, but yet they think they can compare with dealership prices. And it's like, well, why? You have nothing to offer. You're signing a piece of paper saying I can give you money for this, and then it's so long, see you later, I'll never see you again, right? So if something goes wrong with this car, I have no fallback. At least, at, you know, getting it from a dealer, I have some sort of a fallback. And people are very confused about this, and it's driving me nuts because right now I'm in the market for a used car, okay? And I want something specific. I want, and a lot of you may not agree with my car choice here, but I am in the market for a 2006 to 2007 Subaru WRX STI. Would prefer black, but would settle for gray. Would settle for the Subaru blue. I want to try to avoid white. All right, I'd like to avoid any other colors other than the ones I mentioned. If I could find one that has a sunroof, I would like that. Not a high priority though. So, and it's weird because I've seen some with sunroofs and then none with sunroofs. So I don't know if it was like a specific thing. They only made so many with a sunroof, or it was a custom thing someone got done later, because I have seen them with sunroofs. And now I don't see them at all with sunroofs. Like all the ones I'm looking at, they don't have them. I'm like, did I dream this? I know I've seen them, but maybe I dreamt it. Maybe it was a specific package, a specific model, and they're just not out there. I don't know. So I used to own a WRX years ago, and I absolutely loved that car. Now, Subaru just quit making the STI. They're done. They're not making it anymore. I don't like the newer body Subarus at all. To me, it feels like you're driving in a fishbowl. The last good year for comfort-wise, in my opinion, was the 2007. Now, for those of you out there that know your Subarus, know that, you know, the 06, 07s, there were specific things that made them different. This was the Hawkeye model. And I like this model, and there's one big selling point. For me, I honestly think that I love the look of the Bug Eyes, but I want the 2.5 liter. I don't like the look of the Blob Eyes, even though I heard the 04 is like the best for power that you can get. I don't like the Blob Eye models. I like the Hawkeye models, but more specific, Subaru did something. I know everybody says, oh, you could change that. You could work with that. No. It's just bullshit. So for years, Subaru had one cup holder in them that was above the radio that popped out over top of the radio. And it's nice and convenient. Your drink is right there. And it also, every time you get condensation, it leaks all over your knobs and your radio and stuff like that. So it's kind of a pain in the ass. So they finally, in 06, 07, decided to put cup holders where they should properly go in a car. Down by the shift knob, down by the emergency brake, they finally put the cup holders in the right spot. So I have a motorcycle that I'm trying to sell that nobody wants to bite on. And I think that nobody wants to bite on it because of the price. This is the last year they made the spike, okay? I've seen them online. None of them have the least miles that mine has. Mine has under 1,000 miles. All the other ones listed online are way more than that. And their values a lot more than what I think it should be for the bike, honestly, considering what they cost new. But I have nobody biting on this bike at all. This is like a brand new bike. And I can't get anybody to bite on it. And I don't owe anything on it. It's paid for outright. I have the title in my hand. And I can't get anybody to bite on it. I understand the economy's shitty right now, but there are people still making bad decisions and spending money on stupid shit. So my whole thought process with this is maybe I can utilize this bike as a trade-in. Now, this is where the complication's coming in. The complication is coming in because a lot of these dealers cannot compare this bike and give a relatively good price for it because there's no comparison out there. That's the problem. There's nothing really to compare it to because every single one that's out there has way more miles on it than mine. Now, what you could do is essentially take the highest valued one you see at retail, decide what you as a dealer want to make on that, make me an offer, and then say, you know what, since it has less miles, we shouldn't have a problem selling it. We'll kick in an extra $500 to $1,000. Like, you would think that would be the mentality. But this is a struggle in itself as well. And would you look at that? It's time for another break. Ladies and gentlemen, we'll be right back.
Jester from It's Doomsday Podcast and the Doom Daily Show here. Do you ever find yourself overloaded with way too much information? Too many logins, too many passwords, too many websites for stuff you like? Yeah, I'm the same way. You don't have to worry about that with the Doom Daily Show and It's Doomsday Podcast. Let's make it simple. Just visit linktree.com/JesterDooms. Add it to your bookmarks. That way, when you need to find the right information, it's right there, under a tap of your finger or a click of your mouse. Go to linktree.com/JesterDooms. Get it, got it, done. Remember, no one has all the answers, but this will provide you with a place to start. linktree.com/JesterDooms.
And now, on with the conversation. And here's Jester.
Oh, and we're back. Enough about my used car shopping woes and this motorcycle scenario. Although, man, this is like burning me up. Anyway, so myself and a coworker were having a conversation today about the state of the world and what's going on and what's coming, right? And he put it in a very easy way to understand, okay? And the easy way he put it to understand, he's like, this is like a train wreck that's happening in slow motion. It's a train and it's wrecking and it's a freaking train. You can't stop the wreck and you know what damage is about to occur and we're just watching it in slow motion, waiting for this destruction to happen, knowing there's nothing we can do to stop it. And he's accurate. He's 100% right. I mean, there are people that are seeing the writing on the wall, but not everybody is. And I wish more people would see this writing on the wall. But with this, you know, we're walking through the grocery store today, and my wife's like, yeah, you know, I really like dehydrated apples. And, you know, I can't. The ones I was buying, I just found out that they were made in China, and I don't want to buy those. And I'm like over here thinking to myself, like, good, don't buy from them. I didn't say that. That's what I was thinking. So she grabs another pack and picks them up. She goes, well, I haven't had these ones before. And then she picks them up. She turns them around, and then she looks at me. She's like, look, product of China. And I'm like, yeah, everything's being taken over. Think about this. We have apple orchards in the U.S., okay? And we can grow our own apples here and all these things, and we could dehydrate these here, and this could be a business that's done here in the U.S. and sell these locally. Nope, we're importing apples from China. You gotta be fucking kidding me. So China is running the U.S. If you guys haven't figured it out yet, that's what's happening, okay? And it kills me because I honestly think there's like this kind of slow burn procedure happening to where when we end up going to war with them, they just cut us off from everything. And they basically say, if you want your shit back, you're going to have to do what we say because you guys can't make shit on your own anymore. You are totally subservient to us. So if you want it, if you Americans want your stuff, you better be good. You better be good, little boys and girls, and we'll give you what you want back. I mean, and it's everything, guys. I didn't know the apples were on the list of these things until today. And that was a pretty scary thought, you know, when you really think that, man, it's even in something as simple as apples we're getting from overseas. I heard something years ago and I don't know to the extent of how much of this is true, so, you know, take this with a grain of salt. I was informed by somebody who digs deep into these kind of things that basically some amounts of our livestock here, certain animals, are shipped overseas to China for slaughter. And then once they're slaughtered, they ship that meat back to us. And I think to myself, with cancer on the rise and diabetes on the rise and all these health problems on the rise and everything else, are they adding stuff to this meat before it comes back over? And if so, is anybody checking on that? I mean, nobody, you know, if we have any chemists that listen to the show, I'd love to know, do you test your meat before you cook it up? Do you see if there's anything wonky in there before cooking it up? Because I know the average person doesn't do that. I mean, hell, the average person nowadays, I mean, if it smells bad, but if it's within date, they still eat it, you know? I mean, it's wild to me. And some people really have it ingrained in their brains to not waste anything. Like, my dad would freak the fuck out if I would dump out a gallon of expired milk. If there was a little bit left in the bottom of it and it was expired, I'd pour it out. And it's, I was going to save that for coffee. And I'm like, yeah, dude, it's expired. I don't give a shit. Oh, well, dude, I saw expired, so I got rid of it. My bad. But a lot of people have that in their mind to where they don't want to get rid of it. They don't want to toss it. All right. So with that being said, nobody is probably looking at these meats and seeing where they're coming from, seeing where they're being slaughtered at, you know, things like that. They're not testing these meats. If they smell kind of funky, they're probably eating them anyway, as long as they're within the dates. Or if they're out of date and they smell okay, they're probably eating them. This was a very long, drawn out tangent with multiple stories to basically tell you guys that if China released COVID and was not held accountable, and we went through this crisis to change the entire world, I would not put it past them that they're putting things in the meats, okay? And just a suggestion for you guys, and I'm not trying to go off on some hippie tangent here, but if you have that local farmer that sells meats, support that local farmer, okay? If you have a farmer out there who has his own fruit stand, go there. All right. Do that. Support American business. Support local business. Support the people within your community. And the government hates that. They don't like that. They want everything to be imported. They want you to do some stupid job and take all your money. And they don't ever want you to grow and expand. And they want everything to be ran by the corporations because they get bribed and they get kickbacks and there's all this shit. And people are still not waking up to this. And it drives me absolutely insane. Ugh. But anyway, we'll be back right after these messages.
If you like hard-hitting news and up-to-date explosive investigations, well, you better look elsewhere. Check out The Beans and Weenie Show Is Doomed most Saturday nights at 8:30 p.m. Central Standard Time on Rumble and Podbean. You are listening to The Doomed Daily Show.
Ladies and gentlemen, I got a question for you. And I want you to put a little bit of thought into this, because this is something that's been kind of bugging me and has got my brain kind of ping-ponging all around. So, the homeless population is on the rise in my area. Anyway, it used to be you had about a half a dozen of these guys. And you'd see them from time to time walking around. They had their corner that they liked to hang out on. And, you know, they, for the most part, you kind of remembered their faces, knew who they were, and knew who was kind of in your area. And now, what I'm seeing happen is, I'm seeing that there are hordes of homeless people moving through my town. And I'm not talking like, oh, there's like a dozen of them, or... No. In the last probably 6 months, there's been hundreds of faces I have not recognized, nor have I seen before. And is anybody else noticing this in their area? Now, I'm noticing with a lot of the homeless, there seems to be, at first glance, a lot of mental issues going on. And, you know, back in the day, you saw someone with mental issues and you felt bad for that person. Like, oh my God, that poor guy. He doesn't know his pants are around his ankles. He doesn't know that he's talking to a tree. He doesn't know what's going on. He's mentally not with it. Now, your brain goes in the complete opposite direction to where I wonder what that guy's on. He must be on some good shit because he is over there pantsless having a full-blown conversation with an oak tree. Oh my God. I want what he's having, right? Or you look at this guy or one of these people and you're like, yeah, he must have got bad on drugs and that's what put him in that scenario he's in now. And it's sadly because that's the truth of it. It's not a lot of these people that are out there. I'm not saying they're all on drugs, and I'm not saying all of them are mentally defective, but there is clearly a connection here between the homeless and the drugs and the mentally ill and the homeless. There is a big connection here. And then also there is a connection with mental illness and drug use, and nobody wants to talk about that either. That is something that a lot of people don't think about. Some of these people have mental issues that were never addressed, okay? And they didn't have support systems, and they didn't have structures, and they didn't have doctors or meds or this, that, the other, and good, you know, good support systems in life. So they don't understand the harm in these drugs, and some of these people, depending on their mental disorder, can have an extremely addictive personality to where they get hooked on something very, very easy. Now, I've had back problems when I was younger. I still have it. It's not gone, but I think my sciatic nerve is finally scarred over, and I think that's why I'm not experiencing the kind of pain I used to experience. So I have degenerative disc disease, and there's like, it's almost bone on bone in my lower vertebrae, and it would be to the point where like once a month something would happen. I wouldn't be able to walk. It was horrible. And I honestly thought I might be wheelchair bound at some point just due to pain. But finally, I think those nerves finally scarred over, and now I'm not getting that pain anymore because, you know, thankfully I've been okay. Praise God. I've been okay for a while. And the reason I bring this up is because having this back pain, I've been on Tylenol 3s, I've been on Vicodin, I've been on Percocets, I've been given all kinds of rounds of steroids and Tramadol, and I've been given Dilaudid, I've been given morphine. I've been given a lot of things for my back, okay? And I never once got addicted to any of these things, and I'm extremely grateful that that's never happened, all right? I personally do not like the way I feel after taking a Vicodin. I don't like the way I feel after taking a Percocet or a Tylenol 3. I can tolerate taking a Tramadol, right? I can tolerate that. Morphine had no effect on the pain for whatever reason. It did nothing for me. So they never gave me the morphine again because it had no effect. Dilaudid also had no effect, which I thought was extremely crazy. The only thing that the Dilaudid did was just basically made me feel like I was wasted. It did nothing to really deal with the pain. So the reason I say that is with all the different pharmaceuticals they've put in me over the years for my back pain, I never once developed an addiction to this. And I'm very happy that that's never happened. But I know there's a lot of people out there who get addicted to these things very, very, very easily. And now we see these people coming out in the masses, addicted to these drugs. And I've been seeing hordes of homeless all across the nation and this is another reason they might want to ban certain social media platforms, is because years ago, what was going on downtown in Philadelphia, you didn't get to see that. They didn't put it on, you know, mainstream media. You didn't get to see it on the news, right? Unless it was something major that everybody was talking about. You didn't get to see it. So now what is happening is, everybody's got a phone in their pocket, and everybody whips out this phone, and everybody makes a video, and everybody's got a social media platform, and everybody wants to go viral. So say that there's some shit that goes down in Philadelphia, and you're down in, say, Houston. That guy could take that video, post it, you could see it in your FYP within 10 minutes, that video is going viral, and you are now 10 minutes behind knowing what's going on in Philadelphia. They can't control this shit, and they know it. They know they can't control it. And that's where I think a lot of this ban comes from. But to go back to the homeless, which was the original purpose of this, I'm trying to figure out where all these people are coming from. Because think about this for a second. Again, something nobody's talking about. In my area, and in a lot of areas around the country, there's apartments that are full. There are houses that are full. The market is kind of crazy, with not many properties being available for sale, not many houses being available for sale, not many apartments being available for rent. It seems like things are full up. So if the homeless population is increasing and you have all these houses that are not on the market and apartments that are full, who's in them? Did we magically get an influx of like millions of people? Well, the answer is yes, and it's called immigration. I prefer to use the term invasion because they don't like that, but that's what we're going to go with, invasion. So, just out of curiosity, I'm just, you know, really wondering, has anybody else seen this in their area? Are you seeing an increase in the homeless population in your area? And if you are, is it coupled with an increase in drug problems? Because ours is. And I want to know what you guys got going on. Email me, doomdailyshow@gmail.com. Producer Scooter, it's been a blast, babe. I'll catch you on Sunday.
Jester, you are my shining star.
Everybody else, enjoy your weekend. Do something fun. Don't be stuck in the house. Get out. Get some fresh air. Go for a walk. Take the kids to the park. Do something. But not a park that's occupied with the homeless and drugs and all that good stuff. All right, I'm out of here. Have a good weekend.
News, facts, and opinions. This is the Doom Daily Show.